right, ladies and gentlemen, super pumped to be here. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of the Quest Atlantis Catholic Radio. I got it right that time, producer
Julian. You did, yeah.
Are we both on this one camera right now?
We are, yeah. This is going to be an interesting setup. Right. Yeah,
I like it. We are here once again for our 1,000th episode in Dalton, Georgia at St. Joseph's Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. We were here last week. Last week.
They captured us with blindfolds over our head, brought us here. How we got here, I'm not sure.
We're still here. We're still dressed the same. We're still rocking our lanyards with our press passes on. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
They won't let us shower.
We haven't left, and we're just cranking these out. No, but it's going to be a really good day. We've got Linda, and we've got Karina in studio today, and we're going to be talking about a lot of things. We're both starting a young adult ministry up here. We're going to be getting into that. We're going to be getting into some of the benefits and the struggles with sort of like a bilingual ministry, and it's going to be a really good show. So I'm super pumped. Thanks so much, ladies, for being here. Would either of you guys, I know you're kind of put on the spot right now, but would either of you mind opening us in prayer? Come on, do it. Be cool.
Yeah, I can do it.
All right, you got it? All right.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, Heavenly Father, we give you so much thanks and praise for today. We give you so much thanks for your presence in the Eucharist. Yeah, just please bring a revival in all of our hearts and a greater depth and understanding. Please bless this time together and just allow us to conversate joyfully. And may it just lead people back to you. Mother Mary, please bless us and keep us under your mantle. Keep praying for us. All the angels and saints, please pray and intercede for us. Amen.
Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. That was a solid 94 without the girl bonus, I think. It was really good. So I always grade the prayers, and then I'm always feel bad being mean to the girl, so I always give them bonus points. But you got like a killer solid A without one. Yeah. No, that was awesome, guys. Thank y'all so much, and thanks for letting us come into kind of your home here in Dalton, Georgia. It really is an awesome spot. I wish we could do like a 360 around here because it is one heck of a room. What is this room called? Is it a youth room? Is it like your young adult ministry room? Is it, what is it?
It's more like the youth room.
Yeah, the youth room.
Yeah, I really dig it. I'm into it. Before we get started and really dig into what we're talking about today, can y'all, Janus probably, like our corporate overlords, probably gave you a heads up on this. Can you guys give us three fun facts? Tell us three things about yourselves. They don't have to be that fun. And they don't even have to be about you, really. Like, talk about armadillos a lot. But yeah. What you got? We'll start with you, Karina.
I enjoy running. It's really hard to think about yourself.
Where are you from?
I am from here. My parents are from Mexico.
Okay, cool.
But I was raised here. I was born in Tennessee, Chattanooga.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. All right, fine. That counts. That's technically three. I like it. What about you, Linda?
Let's see. I'm the youngest. I have four older brothers.
Nice.
So only girl.
I'm the exact opposite. I have one boy and four girls right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the boy is the oldest. And then there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool, though. That's fun.
It is fun. Yeah. I'm colorblind, which is really rare for women.
For girls. Yeah. That's wild.
Yeah. Wow.
So. Are people constantly asking you obnoxious questions about, can you tell what color this is?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fair. That was my initial response. And so I knew that a lot of people were jerks about that. So cool.
Yeah. So. Seeing colors. Some I can see, some.
It's overrated. Like, it's overrated. I'm always like, why do I care what color this is? Yeah. I say that every day. Yeah. Every day. So you're not missing out, I promise.
Cool. Yeah. I know there's those, like, special fancy glasses out there.
That can like, help. Fix your color blindness?
Yeah. It's like, yeah, you take, like, a eye exam or something like that, and then
and
it adjusts to, like, the type of color blindness people are.
Yeah.
Because there's, like, red, green, blue, purple. There's so many different kinds.
What? Give me like one practical reason why being colorblind has been a like frustration. Are there any?
It's hard to coordinate certain things or like decorate or things like that.
Got you.
So
you have to ask people like, does that match or make sense or whatever?
Yes. Yeah.
I read a really interesting article about an island somewhere in like French Polynesia, and it was pretty insulated and has been for hundreds and hundreds of years. And as a result, right, the majority of the people on the island were colorblind, and it was like a serious problem because the majority, you're nodding. You heard this story?
You know this story? I think we talked about it off air.
Okay. Yeah. So it was a serious problem because most of their diet was fish. And the best way to tell if the fish is like cooked thoroughly is the color of the fish, but not a lot of people could do that. And so there were all these like things they were trying to figure out to make sure that they were cooking. Like it was super interesting. So if you move there, you could get food poisoning, but you'd have a lot of people to commiserate with. I don't know where I'm going with that. I think it was one more fun fact.
Yeah. Wow. That is cool.
Yeah. You got one more fun fact.
Yeah, I do like to run. Yeah. I'm trying to get back into it. I did cross country in high school.
So. Nice. I was a firefighter for a couple of years, and in rookie school, they ran us to death, and I loathe running as a result. I've got like a psychological block. I wish I didn't. My wife, like, she's run a marathon. She does all the running kind of things. It really is like a mental block with me in running. So good on you. It's good for you. We got time today. What you got? You got a fun fact?
Do I have a fun fact?
Yeah, you got anything? This is nice. Once again, I just think this is neat. I like you over here.
Yeah, I just like the setup because our original plan was to a room that had Mary in it, which, I mean, Mary's great. We love Mary. But,
I'm a big fan.
I've just loved the young adult
vibe
in really here. Cool. So my fun fact would be that I have a real passion for young adult ministry, which is why I do this show.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
Softball. I guess. It was cheap.
Those were better. But yeah.
They were.
My fun fact, and I might have talked about this on the show because I talk about this way too much, is that there is an island the size of Delaware off the coast of Siberia. And I read a book about a ship that got wrecked there, and then the people had to hike across the ice and went to the island, and they all starved to death. It wasn't a happy book. But that on that island is where the last woolly mammoths died, and they were still there when they built the Great Pyramid of Giza.
Whoa.
There were still woolly mammoths on this island off the coast of Siberia. Isn't that neat?
That is so neat.
I know.
Huh.
Yeah, so that's fun. It's like a Russian national park now or something, and people aren't allowed to go there.
We should do a trip.
I think our next episode of Honest to God, that's actually, I'm setting this up. I'm teeing this up. Our next episode is going to be live from an illegal broadcast station on that island. Okay. Off the coast of Russia. Yeah, I'm pumped. We finally got some big money backers, right? Here.
Yeah. Thank you to our sponsors. You know, and if you're trying to help support the show, let us know. We might be able to move this another one to India or who knows where.
We got to get over to India. Half of our fans are over there.
Half fans.
This episode of Honest to God, though, is brought to you by Horizon Brand Organic Low Fat Milk. Make sure you get your Horizon Brand Organic Low Fat Milk for sale at Kroger. It is USDA approved. It is red and white, and there's a cow on it. Horizon Brand Low Fat Milk. Get some today. All right, guys, without further ado, and with all of our sponsorships and whatnot out of the way, I want to dig into the topic at hand. Off air, before we started the show, you guys were talking about how you are starting not a youth ministry here, right, but a young adult ministry here. And I think that's super cool. A big reason the show exists, something that we're on about all the time, is how there seems to be sort of like a paucity of like support from churches once you get after a certain age, right? You're a little guy and you go to your Sunday school, you're in middle school, you start doing youth group, you stay in youth group through high school, and then you go off to college and there's Steubenville or there's the SEEK conferences and there's all these college ministries and NET and all this stuff, right? And then if you're not leaving college and like on your own, getting super involved with parish life, or you're married and trying to live out your faith through marriage or whatever, all of a sudden it's like, there's nothing there for me. And unfortunately with a lot of churches, they're most of the outreach is towards sort of the older people, right? Sort of retirees and people with kids. And so if you don't fit in one of those categories, if you are, post-college adult, you don't have a whole lot of options and a whole lot of support. So can you guys speak a little bit to why you started this and what you're doing and what all it entails?
Huh? You want to go, Katie?
So I just got back from doing some mission work. I was with the Missionary Servants of the Word. Cool. They are located in California, Palmdale. That's where the formation house is at. You do a formation of 8 months, and then they send you off to do mission for a whole year.
Awesome.
And every 4 months, you get to go to a different parish.
Sure.
So you're moved around every 4 months.
Just you, or are you with like a little team?
We're with a sister. You always go with, oh, cool. You can't go alone, you know?
Right.
So we go out, two or three of us. We go, they send us out to a different parish, or maybe the same parish. We go there and we start young adult groups or children's groups. We start adult groups, anything that the pastor needs or anything that we could do to help. We would begin and do as much serving the community. And one of our main goals was our spirituality is evangelize the lay to evangelize with the lay.
Awesome. Sure.
So we would do a lot of knocking door to door, and visiting families through that and bringing back home all those that have stepped back from the church, especially with COVID.
Sure.
A lot of families stopped attending mass and they watch on YouTube. So we went back and tried to.
So are you door knocking on specifically lapsed Catholics, people who are no longer going to, Catholics who are no longer going to church? Or are you like doing the Mormon thing where you're just like going through the neighborhood, knock, knock, knock?
Yeah, the whole Mormon thing.
Heck,
going door to door.
Cool.
We would run into crazy stories. You run into people who are not Catholic, people that are atheists, people that leave the church for a situation. You just have all these different situations that occur when you do knocking door by door.
Okay, so I really want you to give me like one or two like really interesting door knocking. Do you mind? I would love to hear something. Yeah.
Okay. So I was, and this was in California, close to Sequoia. In that area, we went knocking door by door, and the church is right behind. The church has there's a neighborhood right behind the church. So we started off there doing the knocking, and it was me and my sister, because it was three of us there. So we started and we were knocking, and we would get some response, and some there'd be like, I'm not interested. And I always make the joke, like, we're not selling you any items. Like, we're trying to share the word of God to them.
Right. Praise God.
And they would say, oh, we're not interested. And we'd just, you know, be respectful. We would go on to next door. It was difficult because in California, they have the gated, their houses are gated.
Sure.
So you can't really go in front of the door. You have to knock from the gate or scream. We would always scream because
you just stand at their gates and scream.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Because we would we had the sisters, they would wear long skirts and a button-up shirt, and the brothers will wear, you know, dress pants and shirt, like dress shirt as well. So the sisters looked like we were Jehovah Witnesses, because
right.
We would always wear our long skirts.
Right.
So we would have to say, hey, we're Catholic, we're here to share the word of God. So we were already an hour in, and it was really hot. It was actually during this time, during June, it was very humid, and we hadn't gotten any doors to open. We got to one door, we knocked, and they didn't open. So we went to the next door, and we were there, and we saw that door was open, but we didn't realize, me and my sister didn't realize that the actual gate was open. So we were able to go all the way inside
right.
to the door, knock.
Okay.
But we didn't realize the gate was open. So we noticed a door was open of the gentleman that lived there. So we said, we're Catholic missionaries. And he's like, he just started screaming like, wait, I'm coming, I'm coming. And when that was occurring, his neighbor came out and was taking his trash out. And he's like, he told us, he's like, if ever you guys, just leave. And we were like, what do you mean?
Right.
And he just said that, like, if ever you guys, just leave. And we're like, okay, that's interesting.
Sure.
So we were like, well, he's already coming because he's yelling at us to wait. So we're like, let's just wait. So he comes out. He's a gentleman. We had that gate that separated us. So we were like, we're Catholic missionaries. We come here from the parish of St. Rita. We're here to share the gospel. Do you have a minute? And he's like, yes. And we tried to, you know, share the gospel of the day with him. And out of nowhere, he was just saying that he was Jesus Christ.
Oh.
He was the second coming. He told me and my sister.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah, he was telling me and my sister that we were already marked with his name on our foreheads.
Oh, okay.
That we were going to see him elevated in the sky, and we were just like, what are you saying?
Oh, poor
and
guy.
My sister was like kind of getting irritated because she was like, you're saying lies. What are you talking about? And he's like, no, like my mom is a Virgin Mary. And I was like, we were like, what is he saying? So we listened to him. He showed us pictures. He's like, yeah, well, I have the marks of Jesus on my body. He tried to show us. He lifted up his shirt. And we're like, no, it's okay. We don't need to see. He showed us a picture of his mom. By that time, our sister that was at home cooking for lunch, mm-hmm. she called us. She's like, where are you guys at? Like, it's already about to be 1 and you're not here. And we're like, we're going. We're on our way. So the brother got really upset with us because we had to go. We couldn't listen to him anymore. Right. And he wouldn't let us speak.
Okay.
He was just upset.
Kept going.
Kept going. And we're like, well, we have to go. It's our lunchtime. And he was like, well, are you going to leave Jesus alone? And I'm like, yes, I'm sorry. Oh. I'm going to have to leave Jesus.
Poor guy, though. So that's
one story.
That's got to be tough with sort of the mental disorder and stuff when you run into people like that when you're out and about, right? Because you don't want to abandon them. But at the same time, I've got to make sure that I'm physically safe.
Yeah.
And also, I can't spend my whole day standing here listening to you rant about some sort of nonsense.
Yeah.
I just think it's so cool that you were out. Door knocking and do it. I think that's so great. I wish more of us did that. I've had my door knocked on by Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and a couple of Baptist churches and invited me over there. And every time I give them the same spiel, like, oh, usually the Mormons used to come over for dinner and stuff at our house. Like, we got to be really good friends with these Mormons. I just always told them how much I appreciated what they were doing and how that's kind of in a very real, tangible way what Christ tells us to do, right?
Yeah.
To minister to others. And that's kind of what you're trying to do and build up here. So how is there a need for a young adult ministry here? Why? What made you say, we're going to go there and we're going to start this young adult ministry at St. Joseph's in Dalton?
Well, I guess since I had moved back to Dalton back in August of last year. So once I graduated UGA, I was living in Atlanta for like 6 months. From like January to August last year. And then coming back, there's just the longing. I miss the community from the Catholic Center at UGA. It was amazing. Just so many awesome people and amazing friendships that you make from there. And at the same time, I think Karina got back from missions and later that August. And so, we were just like, we had that longing, that desire to just bring more people. And we had already known some like young adults who help out with the youth ministry.
Sure.
And so we knew like from that group, too, there were a lot of people with that same desire. And then, just at Mass, I would see like young adults. And I'm like, oh, I haven't seen you before. And like, you're coming to Mass. Like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And so, but like, we didn't have anything to offer to them. And so that's kind of... Yeah. And it's just like stirring within our hearts and like,
Yeah. That's really, cause I love obviously sort of in an informal way. If you see somebody at Mass who is new and not, or by themselves or something, right. It's really good to walk up to them and talk to them. And in fact, some of our only real friends we've made since college, my wife and I have been us going to Mass when we were in our early 20s and stuff and had a kid or two and being like, hey, you're not 67 and it's a weekday and you're at Mass, we should be friends. You want to go grab lunch or something afterwards? And I mean, some of those blossomed into really dear friendships, but the idea of having sort of a formal thing, right? Mm-hmm. Say, hey, why don't you come to this? And we're inviting everybody to this thing who's like you and get tied into this community. I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
So what does it look like to start the ministry? Like what is you decided to start a young adult ministry look like?
Well, a lot of praying,
a lot of praying.
Yeah. Just trying to figure out, there's so many ways to start. So we reached out to like already other young adults that also had that same desire within that were already like active within the church as well. So trying to form a team. And then from there, been trying to brainstorm like, okay, what's the best way? So I think really it's been about a month.
Yeah.
Like a month of trying to form this thing.
Yeah, it's like parish-wide.
Okay. And have you opened it up yet? Like, has it started? Have you had a meeting or anything? Or are you still sort of in the we're getting everything set kind of mindset?
We're getting everything set. We want to start, God willing, with a vigil and invite the community to come and just make it welcoming for everybody,
right?
And bilingual, you know, mm-hmm. English and Spanish. But a lot of our youth that we see here at the parish are Spanish speaking, but they understand more the English.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. they were raised here, went to school here. So have that. Because we do have different ministries here that have young, like young adults or teenage groups.
Right.
But it's only Spanish speaking.
Okay, I see. Well, so, and this parish is, what, 90% Hispanic? I mean, it's got it's something like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't realize that, that Dalton, and I did a little history of Dalton because I was driving up here, and I not while I was driving, but this morning I Wikipedia Dalton, and mm-hmm. I just read through literally the Wikipedia page of, here's the history of Dalton. And then I got to... and it said something about, like, this is the largest percentage sort of Hispanic community in the state of Georgia, like, hands down, like, far and away. It was crazy. It's like 70% or something Hispanic in the area. So are most of your ministries, or are most of them, are they bilingual, or are they Spanish?
For the most part, I think they're all Spanish. I think... I really only know the youth ministry. That's more English. And there's some, there's a, we'll throw in some Spanish in there, but sure. The main parts.
Over English. New Year's weekend, this past year, 2024, I was in Swainsboro, Georgia, and they share a priest with a parish in Metter, Georgia, which is like a 30-minute drive. And I went through, and I think the one in Swainsboro was all Spanish, but Metter had a bilingual mass or whatever. And it was a holy day. And I said, we're going to drive 20 minutes up the road. It's me and my kids. We were down there for like a hunting thing. And we're going to go to mass. And we walked in, and we are clearly the only white people in the entire church. And the priest looks at us, and he's like, oh. And I swear it was him, like, I'm going to do stuff in English today. This is exciting. And he stands up there. We're the only people there. It's me and my brother-in-law, who's actually Mexican. He's from Mexico. And my kids. And he would do his homily, or he would do the prayer. He would do whatever it was in Spanish. And then he would look at us, just like focus on us and say it again in English. And the whole time I wanted to be like, it's fine. It's fine. You can just, like, we get it. It's the same in every language. But he was really fun. He gave me confession afterwards in English. My Spanish is bad. Lo siento, pero no hablo español, solo inglés. But that's cool. That's really neat. So what kinds of things? You said you're going to kick it off with a vigil, and we are going to take a break here in a minute, but we have a few minutes left. You're going to kick it off with a vigil, and then what are the kinds of things you do? I spent 8 years or something doing youth ministry, and so anytime I think of any ministry, I immediately just start thinking of all the stuff I did with 15, 16, 17-year-olds, which is probably very different than you do with 20, 30-somethings. So what kinds of things are you going to be doing?
So with a young adult ministry, it's more you're a little bit more able to do more mm-hmm. since there's not really a structure.
You can do stuff at bars. That's neat.
Different things. So we're planning to start with a Bible study, the story of salvation.
Awesome.
And then from there, have the young adults be part of building that schedule, what we're going to do next.
Right.
Help so they'll have that community feel welcome.
Sure. Do you have, and I'm sure you don't have like statistics you can rattle off, but could you give me a rough percentage of how many young adults in the community sort of go up through youth group and everything, and then they graduate high school and either go off to college or start working, and they stop coming to church? Do you have, like, is that significant? I assume it is. Every parish I've ever been is pretty significant.
So we have about 260 or 300 get confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some of them are the age of 17 and 18.
Okay.
Some are younger, 14, 15. But all those that do get confirmed at the age of 17, 18, they either go off to college or they stay here on campus, but they no longer come.
Right.
To the church or to the youth group or anything involving the church. So we wanted to start something also for them, especially those that were graduating. We did have a graduation mass, mm-hmm. And we did have a pretty big group of, adults that, well, 18 that were going
right.
to go off to college. And, we're working in the process of also starting something here at the Dawn State.
Do you have any idea why? Do you have any theories on why we have such attrition?
I don't know. I think here it is a big Hispanic population. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us fall into the just being cultural Catholics.
Right.
And especially like from Mexico over there, I know some regions, like you wouldn't get a priest, like all that would come every Sunday. And so, I think it's like whenever they would have a priest come into like those smaller villages. And so parents are raised like that, like, oh, like only we go to mass whenever a priest is there.
Right.
And I think that same, like, I don't know if it's that same custom or that gets brought back over here to the States. And
it's such a shame because that happens in all sort of culturally Catholic mm-hmm. communities. I was in Cork, Ireland a long time ago, and I was having a conversation with an Irish guy. Obviously Ireland's super duper Catholic culturally. Mm-hmm. And I forget the exact quote, but it was something along the lines of, I was asking him about being Catholic, and we were talking about sort of the troubles and the Protestant and Catholics, you know, killing each other in the '70s over there. And he said, oh, of course I'm Catholic, but I don't know anyone who believes in God. And I was like, oh, cool. Okay. So, and that was, that's so sad to me. Yeah. My wife right here, she would tell you every time I drive by one of those like Hispanic Protestant churches that have started to pop up, I always say, I want to go there. I want to stand at the pulpit and just yell, what would your grandmother think, over and over again? Like your beautiful Catholic grandmother and her rosary and this faith that has been fought for through so much. And I think the answer is not, there's not like a theological disagreement. It's ministries and the fact that they're being reached out to, that our young people, right, regardless of whether they were culturally Catholic or not, the Protestants do a really good job of sort of reaching out and inviting people back in that we as Catholics don't do. And that's a shame.
Knocking on doors.
And knocking on doors. I like this.
That was something that surprised me. And I always said, like, why don't we do that?
Right.
As our Catholics go knock and invite to a mass, invite to retreats, invite to different things.
Well, we as Catholics, it seems like we evangelized the entire world and then we just rested on our laurels and we kind of got comfortable with it. It's like mm-hmm. biggest Christian denomination, 1.4 billion of us or whatever. Cool. We did it. We're done. And that is the opposite of the message of Jesus Christ. He's asking us to get out there. He's asking us to evangelize. I want to get a lot more into that in the second half, but we are getting to a point where we do have to take a break here in a minute, guys. Once again, I cannot thank you enough for inviting us to the studio and this beautiful space you have. I'm so excited about learning more about your ministry. We're going to have all of that and more in 1 minute right after this break. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta Catholic Radio. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Hey guys, John Henry here with Honest to God. Thank you so much for listening. If you have a moment, please run over to thequestatlanta.com. Drop us a dollar or two in the old tip jar. Thanks so much for being a supporter of the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. This is Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. And we picked up somebody else.
We did. It was a fast break for me because we had to do some quick shifting because we've got a fun extra guest here.
It's going to be great. We got Andres here today. Hello, Andres.
Hey, how are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much. Like if you're watching, if you're listening, literally during the commercial break, Andres had to run in and use the computer back here, and these lovely ladies convinced him to sit down, fill out a waiver form, and join us. So he's a little, I'm not gonna say unprepared, because I think he just lives his life prepared for everything, but he didn't know that this was about to happen. That's right. So we're pumped. We're talking about the new young adult ministry that Karina and Linda are mm-hmm. starting here. Can you tell us what do you do here at St. Joseph's?
Well, I have been the youth minister for the last, I guess, 11 years.
Okay.
We prepare for the sacramental confirmation, high school, mm-hmm. high school age. We do retreats, lock-ins, vigils, kind of about everything regarding the high schoolers.
And it's a big parish. You were saying 200 and something confirmandi last year. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. That's really big.
Exactly.
How big is the whole parish, like family-wise? Do you know how many families?
I'm guessing we are about maybe close, or maybe we already passed about 5,000 families.
Wow.
Bam.
That's wild. That's huge.
Mega church vibe.
Yeah, I love it. I didn't even get to go in the sanctuary. I'm going to check out the sanctuary before we're done here. Yeah, it's a great parish. I mean, I've heard good things. I didn't know much about it until I came up for this. And so thank you for inviting us into your backyard.
No, thank you. Yeah. Thank you for coming here.
It's going to be super exciting.
It's a pleasure.
So that's actually a pretty good segue for why we're here.
Yeah, why are we?
Right? We talked, I'm not sure if that episode is last week, aired last week, right?
The one.
The Eucharistic procession?
That is... I actually think that this episode is first.
Cool. Well, next week, yeah, you're going to find out why we're here.
Yes.
And we'll be staying here because every episode of Honest to God is live.
This has been a week for us here at Honest to God.
Been a very
preparing
big,
for this.
And very big week.
Yeah.
But we're at the is there a name for the Eucharistic procession? I just
the
keep
National
it.
Eucharistic Congress procession.
Okay, cool. Which is passing through, yep, Dalton, Georgia today, mm-hmm, and we're very right, excited to be here. Yeah. And the people of St. Joseph's have been kind enough to have us come up here. And while we were here, we said, let us slap together an impromptu studio, which you did a great job of, Julian, and and talk about what's going on in the parish. So guys, thank y'all so much once again. Off air, y'all were mentioning some big lock-in. I'm not sure if that's with the youth, with the high schoolers.
Lock-in from, yes.
Yes, so yes, you just came off. Can you guys talk to us a little bit about that and why you did it and what it was for?
Yes, you first.
So Friday night, this past Friday, we had a lock-in for the teens, I think from ages 13 to 18. And yeah, I just invited them for a night of fellowship and just like allowing them to grow closer in their understanding of the Eucharist.
Awesome.
And how like even... how the mass plays into all of that, why we're there.
So what does that entail? Like in the lock-in, like what are you actually doing at the lock-in?
Yeah. So we have, a lot of like icebreakers activities. We gave two talks and then, adoration. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jesus was hosting. So we cool, literally had to spend time with him. And yeah, of praise and worship there too.
I feel like those sort of communal building aspects are, and I know we were talking about a lot in the first half, but are so important and so often overlooked. I think as Catholics, we do a pretty good job of like teaching the faith, right? Of catechizing young people. There's a whole lot of, well, you're going to go to Sunday school and then you're going to go to youth group and confirmation class and we're going to learn and we're going to talk about things and you're going to know what transubstantiation means and you're going to know about your sacraments and you're going to know about the saints. But, and I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here, we fail a lot with the community building aspect because at the end of the day, it's obviously the fullness of truth is found in the Catholic faith, right? We got it. We got the answers. It's great. You just built this church. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But at the end of the day, we're humans and we want community and we want to be loved and accepted and have a group. And I look at myself as a young man who did not have any faith-based community really at all. And as a result, I went looking for that community in all the wrong places, right? Mm-hmm. And offering, yeah, that sort of root, allowing these young people especially, but not just young people, we all need it. I still need it, right? These people to be rooted in a community of actual faith, where at the end of the day, Jesus Christ is less concerned about you being able to like fill out a questionnaire correctly about the tenets of the faith. And he's much more concerned with your heart. And he's going to reach your heart a lot easier if you immerse yourself with people who are sharing that same faith and those same values. So I think that's super cool. Can you talk a little more, Andres, about what you do with like what your youth group does in terms of community building and all of those things?
Okay. Well, so once we are done with the confirmation preparation, whatever the sometimes we have maybe like around 40, 50 teenagers who would like to return after confirmation. Awesome. And then this is where we call it the youth group. So in the youth group, we do different kind of talks, integration activities, building community activities. And I think it's very true what you said about building community is a very essential part of the ministry because we can teach a lot. We can tell them a lot of things about the faith, which is great. But at the end, when you see the teenagers identifying themselves with the community, building a family, you can ask them and a lot of them will tell you that they have found their family in the church.
Praise God.
So that's very, very meaningful to us. And that's why we try to keep working towards building community so they can find in their faith something they appreciate and embrace fully
so
in their lives.
You're all out of college, right?
Yes.
Why is it that you came back, right? Why is it that you stayed in the faith, right? Because you hear all the time I went to, like we said earlier, right? I went to youth group and did all the things at church. And then all of a sudden I felt like an adult and I'm out there and now I have the option. I don't have to go to mass. I don't have to go to confession, right? I don't have to spend my Sundays doing this. I can sleep in, I can do whatever. I can live this life that I have rejected almost out of requirement because of my family and because of how I was as a young person. Why didn't you do that as young women who are recently out of college, fairly recently?
I don't know. I think for me, I was a sophomore in high school when I really wanted to understand, like, I'm Catholic, but what does that mean?
Sure.
And I remember I called the office and, like, I was like, so I've got confirmed in Mexico. What do I want to help out at church. Is there a youth group? And they're like, yeah, like they meet on Sundays at 5 p.m. And so I went and yeah, I just kept coming. And so youth group and Andres has done a great job of building a great team.
You were a member of this parish?
Yes.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So did you have her when she was in youth ministry? Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
That's
so great. So yeah, it laid a great foundation. And then once I went off to college, to UGA, their Catholic Center is amazing. And it just like built on top
of that. Why is it amazing?
That.
What did they do that was good?
They just offer so many different ministries to young adults. To college students. There's like so many different. They have like a freshman group called Ignite, and then they have like other like I think every week there's like something, or every day there's something going on
at
Catholic Center. So mm-hmm. constantly something for us to go back to. And
something, and maybe you can speak to this, or one of you guys can speak to this. I'm always beating the drum about Catholic colleges, like really Catholic colleges, not like all of our Catholic colleges, right, that exist. And it's because I'm biased. I had a fairly secular upbringing, and then I ended up going to this little bitty Catholic college that was over in Dawsonville, Georgia. We both did, actually. And your bride and my bride, right? And I had this life-changing experience. And so that makes me always sort of banging that Catholic college drum, right? Big shout out to the Newman List. Check it out. You can go on NewmanList.com. You can find all the Newman List approved colleges that are authentically Orthodox Catholic schools. But as a result, because I'm so biased and always talking about those, I forget that going to a state college is not some like death sentence to your faith. There are really fantastic Newman centers that exist. And it's all about sort of your community in that college, right? I joke sometimes about all the formation that I've poured into my children. I have five kids, is so the first 2 or 3 weeks that they're out of my house and can make their own decisions as adults, they're formed enough to say, that's the kind of person I want to hang out with, not that person, mm-hmm. right? This is the kind of thing I want to get involved in. And then they'll build their own community up. So a big shout out to everybody who's involved in any of those Newman centers at these colleges. And I know about UGA, I know they have a fantastic one. I know about Georgia Tech, they have a fantastic mm-hmm. one. I don't know as much about GCSU or any of the other ones. I don't know. Do any of you guys have any suggestions for Newman centers or activities that young people can get involved in when they're in colleges? Like state schools, secular schools?
Yeah, I guess it would depend on what they offer. But yeah, I know for the Catholic Center, they had like a freshman group mm-hmm. for upcoming just first year students. And then they have other talks for all other levels, all other years of college.
Did you make the decision to go to that? Or was that like mom and dad said, hey, I'm paying some tuition, so you're going to the Catholic Center?
No, it was mine. It was, again, like I loved how much I was learning in youth group and I wanted to continue that.
So cool.
And
good
I
job,
knew like
Andres.
UGA was like a,
it's a husband.
It's known as a big party school. And I knew that wasn't the whole partying stuff. I knew that wasn't anything I wanted to get involved sure. in. And so, yeah, I immediately, once I got accepted to UGA, I like, looked up the like, closest Catholic church nearby. Mm-hmm, yeah. And so, yeah, it was good.
I was going to add, of course, we went to Southern Catholic, mm-hmm. but I knew Linda at the Catholic Center. when I went back to school for grad school at UGA and got involved at the Catholic Center, and the community there felt a lot like Southern Catholic within almost like this light in the darkness. And what I liked about being at a state school is we could go out and reach out to those who were partying. And you know, they, you can find the Baptist ministers out on the street that are yelling at you, "You're going to go to hell if you keep drinking that alcohol." We didn't do that, obviously.
Can you actually find people who do that at
Every day.
Literally the worst way to evangelize ever.
On a pulpit screaming at him through a microphone. But the Catholic Center was incredible, and they, people knew my kids. So I recruited babysitters from there, so it was this community all the way from babies. Jonah, our youngest, was baptized there. All the way up to the elderly, and I went to the Dooley funeral there as well. So it was amazing.
It's so interesting. Karina, when you were out door knocking, I just think it's so interesting. Did you come into contact with a lot of young people?
I would come a lot of young people, but they would hide. Their parents would open, and we would try to, you know, they would invite us in. Like, a lot of families would be Catholic, and they would be happy to see us. They'd be like, "Are you really Catholic?" And we would be like, "Yes." We would wear our cross. This would be our cross for mission. So that's why identified it as, yes, we're Catholic, we're wearing a cross, because other Protestant, they don't wear anything. So they're like, okay, that makes sense. So a lot of them would be willing, and they would open the doors. And yeah, a lot of teens would want to talk to us, and they saw they wanted to speak to us and just someone to listen to. They wanted to have that, build that community, have people they can go to.
I think a really great thing, and I say this really trying to limit how much the hubris that's tied up in what I'm about to say, but a great thing about being Catholic is that we are right. the fullness of truth is found in the Catholic Church. And as human beings, right, we are fallen creatures. We have concupiscence. Mm-hmm. We're drawn towards sin. But we also have this desperate desire for truth, right? Our hearts all have this hole in it that wants to be filled by Christ and his church. And I think that's just a beautiful benefit. It's not so much convincing someone as it is, I just need to open up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just open it up. Just a smidge. And the Holy Spirit is going to flood into that once you do it. And one thing I've done a lot of ministry with young men in particular, right? College age young men, young married guys, who will be hyper analytical. And as soon as you say, like, "Hey, do you just want to like sit down and talk through some of the like philosophy of this?" And they're like, "Yes." And then 4 hours later, you're having this great in-depth conversation about something that they always just felt uncomfortable, or like it was rude to talk about, or whatever. And I think that's so cool. So you mentioned college ministry. One of you mentioned college ministry earlier. There's a pretty large college in town, right? Dalton State University? Is that it?
Dalton State College.
College, okay.
Yes. So it's pretty close even to the church as well. And so we have a lot of young adults who do go to that college. And so we're wanting to see what we can do, how we can help facilitate a community over there of Catholics. Because I know, I think sometimes, or I didn't go, but you went to Dalton State, and they had a few people go over there and just evangelize. Yeah,
they would go once a month. It was this couple. They would always just come and have their little table. They would have free rosaries, books, and different items. And everyone would stop and ask questions. And they would just listen to them. And I thought that was really beautiful when I see them come in. And
so they're not actually pursuing people. They're sitting there at a table with a sign that says, like, "You want to talk about Catholic stuff?"
Yeah, or they would they would have a lot of items like rosaries, books and stuff, and you're free to take one or ask questions, and it was in the courtyard, so everyone would walk by there
all
day, because it's like the cafeteria is nearby, so to get to the cafeteria, you would have to cross the courtyard, so it was visible, so they would get a lot of people stop by and ask them questions and things.
So the young adult ministry you're hoping to roll out here, you're planning to roll out here, are you doing stuff over at the college as well, or are you trying to bring in the college kids?
A little bit of both. So, in like a few days, we'll be meeting with the president of Dalton State College.
Oh, no way.
So just seeing like, what can we do over there? And yeah, and just like team up and just bring people closer to
to the Lord.
That is so neat. And once again, going back to that hunger, my sister-in-law just took her final vows in a convent. She's been there 7 years. She just took her final vows. We were up there a couple of weeks ago, and it's in northern Minnesota, right? And she's a nun, right? So she's just like fully habited, and she walks around fully habited, and she says she can't go anywhere without everyone just being like, are you a nun? Are you a real nun? And then just like peppering questions. And all of a sudden she's having this deep conversation with someone about some wound or something they have, or why they don't go to church anymore. Because once again, they just want it. I really do think that it's just such a beautiful mission that you have to put this in front of people, because they just got to open the door that crack, right? And then the Holy Spirit floods them. Yeah. That's awesome. I want to change topics a little bit in the last 10 minutes or so that we have. And I want to talk about differences. I don't know if the word is liturgically, because we're, regardless of whether you're in the Anglosphere or not, it's still a Latin Rite church. But what are the major differences, right, between sort of a predominantly Hispanic church and a more Anglicanized church? From anybody, I've not spent a lot of time other than my experience in Metter with the quote unquote bilingual mass. I was telling a story earlier. We went to this bilingual mass and it was clearly a Spanish mass, but then the priest saw us and he was like, and so he looked at me every single time, every time you spoke English. But what are some of the differences, just culturally or in the way that, or liturgically, whatever? I'd be super interested.
Obviously, when it comes to, I will say, for example, this community, since I have been here in St. Joseph since 2001, I have seen the Hispanic community has been growing more and more. So I will say, like, we are about, I may be wrong, because actually we haven't done a survey or something like that, but I will say like 98% is Hispanic community.
Right.
And there is a lot of activities, for sure, the ministries. But when it comes to the mass, well, you know, the Hispanic masses are more, the music is very joyful, guitars, sure, drums, and all that. And in the English mass, with the Anglo community, it's more the organ, the piano,
right,
more relaxing. Yeah. So those are the differences that I can see when it comes to how the liturgy develops.
Right.
But it's beautiful. I think to see the difference.
I go to Our Lady of the Mountains in Jasper, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I think is so neat about it, I think that we forget oftentimes in the United States, because the United States, at least Catholicism in the United States, usually when it's depicted in media, it's sort of this Italian or Irish or Polish or like New England or Midwestern Catholicism. And one thing that's really cool about my parish is when you walk in, one of the first things you see is the Georgia martyrs, who were all these Spanish martyrs, right, who were killed. It's sort of the Spanish influence on the church in not just the country, but the continent, right? And not just Latin America, but all of it, I think, gets understated oftentimes because of the cultural zeitgeist of, you know, so much of our media and everything is produced in New England, and that just sort of becomes. And I've read some wonderful books recently that I really would love to encourage people to, if you've got time, to really get into the Spanish missions and what the Spanish did for the United States, or if you're ever in St. Augustine, Florida. Have you guys been to St. Augustine?
Yeah, we took a trip.
Oh, yeah. So cool. Yeah, we did. I took a group of kids down there for the Florida's Right to Life march down there, and we did the Our Lady of La Leche, and it was so cool. Yeah. But that's just something that I think we really need to be proud of, because of how Protestantized, particularly the South, is, right? We need to realize that we have really, the Catholic Church has roots that go so much deeper in the American South than the Protestants do. We were here first, all right? The Spanish, De Soto was here first in Georgia, all right? And he was Catholic. They were saying mass here way before they set up, you know, Pastor Jimbo's mega church, whatever. Go team. All right. So we have about 6 minutes left. Do we want to do popsicle sticks, or do you have anything you want to throw out there, Julian?
That's a good question. No, I would love to do popsicle sticks.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if they prepped you for popsicle sticks, but we tend to end shows with popsicle sticks. You can give them a couple each so they can find one that they're interested in. It's just we don't have our loaded questions junior game, I guess. That's usually my go-to because the options, but all right.
It's the first time I've passed out popsicle sticks.
Well, you get some too. We got to.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah, totally.
Because usually you have to read them to me because of where I'm at.
these are fun. I like these. All right. I'm going to go with, who would you like to have dinner with, living or from the past? And I'm going to get really sappy with mine. If I could have dinner with anybody, and as the rule with all of these questions, you're not allowed to say Jesus because that's cheating, because obviously the answer is Jesus. If you had a time machine, you'd go meet Jesus because he's God. Yes, right, obviously. But you get to go meet, you get to have dinner with two people. So I'm going to have dinner with Jesus, and then I'm going to get kind of sappy and say I would really like to have dinner with my granddad. I had a granddad who was super influential on me when I was a young man. He died when I was 14, and he was probably the closest relative I have that wasn't my parents, and it'd be fun. I would like that. Cool. What you got, Andres?
Well, I choose this one. What was one of your favorite movies? Which movie would you like to be in?
Awesome.
I supposed to respond to that one.
Yeah, tell us which one.
I choose this one because I am very a fan of Lord of the Rings.
Oh, heck yeah. that is the right answer, I think.
Yes.
100%.
Yes, the reason why I actually, 2 days I went to Locking with the teens, I was kind of talking a little bit about the Lord of the Rings movie, and they were just laughing at me like...
We've done a couple of episodes digging into Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings is an incredibly Catholic, incredibly Catholic book and series of movies. Mm-hmm.
They were one of my favorites, and especially the landscapes that also appear in the movie.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. So if I had a chance to be... one of those places, I will take it.
Totally. Sure.
If you're watching on YouTube, click right here, and we'll link it to the Lord of the Rings.
That's fancy, Julian. How'd you make that appear in thin air right above your left shoulder?
Oh, you know, camera magic.
That was really neat.
Yeah, thank you.
Cool. What about you, Karina? What you got?
How do you share your faith, the good news of the gospel?
Knocking on doors. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. I would love to do that. We had a 15-day mission during Lent, we were able to bring some religious sister and two sisters that were in formation to come here for 15 days, and they were able to do that experience here with the community. They did knocking on doors and visiting families.
Was this the same order from California that you were associated with? Cool.
So that's ensuring the good news by like our life, how we live our Catholic faith.
Right.
Because it's not always all about the facts, and we can know a lot, but it's how we live our faith and share it with others and loving our neighbor and ourselves.
Totally. And I like how that's kind of become a recurring theme of this segment is Jesus did not come to help you win YouTube comment arguments, right? Having the right answers is great, but what's way more important is giving your heart to Christ.
Right.
Yeah. And I think the best way to evangelize anyone ultimately boils down to nuns.
Yes.
That's actually how I feel. Like, I just think more nuns. We just need more nuns. If we eventually, once we reach critical mass of nuns, then the whole world will be Catholic. Yeah. It'll be great.
Yeah.
But feel free to argue with comments in our comment section.
Obviously.
Yeah. We would always say to the mothers that the veil speaks. Like, you just stand up there, the veil will speak for itself. Like, people will listen to you. The teens will listen to you. Anyone will listen to you. Just
And seriously, I was when I'm in airports, I wander, like if I'm flying internationally or something, if I'm gonna be in like a big airport, I usually get there early, and then I just walk around. I look for priests and look for nuns, right? And you usually find them in big airports. There's usually a couple of priests and nuns lurking around. I just walk up and I'm like, hey, thank you so much for, you know, following your vocation and whatever. And I was flying to Johannesburg, South Africa a couple of years ago, and there was a sister fully habited, and she was in a wheelchair. And I just walked over and I did the same thing. She didn't speak a word of English, and I think she was Indian. I think that it was Hindi that she was speaking to me, and I didn't speak a word of Hindi. And I'm not kidding. She just like grabs my hand and keeps saying, I love you. And I was like, I love you too. This is the best thing that ever happened to me. Yes. Yeah. And it was beautiful. So, okay. Awesome. Oh. What about you, Linda? What you got?
So the question is, would you find it harder to be blind or deaf?
You got the deep one, Karina, and everybody else is about movies. And okay. Pick your favorite problem.
I think it would be hard to be blind. There's so much beauty out there and just seeing what the Lord is doing. But then also you can hear it and then try to imagine it. But I think it would be hard to be like fully blind.
I think if I had to pick one, I'd probably go with deaf. Yeah. Just to be able to see things and be able to, yeah. I've got 5 kids. I'd like to, you know, I like seeing them. It's fun. I wouldn't mind not hearing them. But all right, what you got?
Real quick, where do you see yourself in 10 years? We'll just say that I see myself working side by side with John Henry, doing Honest to God, but not just podcasts, maybe speaking engagements all movie around studio. The world. Movie studio, yeah. Retreats.
Honest to God films. Take that, Jonathan Remy. Yep.
And you can help us out by putting a comment below to help the show grow so that John Henry and I can fulfill our dreams.
Yeah, that's very good.
Oh. As well as proclaiming the word of God, which is the most important thing that we're doing.
And because we know that Jonathan Remy is a daily listener of Honest to God, that was a joke, Jonathan Remy. I love everything that you do. Yeah. We'd love to have you on the show. We're probably going to have him on right after Jeff Goldblum, coming up soon. Yeah. Yeah. So that's great. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for hosting us. And thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for all you're doing at this parish. Thank you for all you're doing for the church. And we just really appreciate your time. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, check out Horizon Organic Loaf Fat milk at a Kroger store near you. I'm being told that off air to make sure to do one more pitch for that. And make sure that you swing by any opportunity you have for the Eucharistic procession. It's going to be coming somewhere near you. And then the National Eucharistic Congress is in Indianapolis. So yep. Go check it out.
Check it out.
Cool. All right, guys. Thank y'all. Seriously.
Thank you for inviting us.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen at home, thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. As always, this has been a blast. You're watching Honest to God, a production of The Quest, Atlanta's Catholic Radio. Producer Julian.
Signing off.
Over and out.